Old Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show. That's not funny anymore, bud, okay?
It's pretty good.
Get the crickets out of here. It ain't funny anymore. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. But they can't. And we're about to... Oh, man, I told you, we had a great meeting today. The world is a changing place, my friends. And this is only good news for you as consumers. That's the part that I really wanted you to know. This is good news for you, the consumer. The news for the consumer when it comes to audio, when it comes to audio entertainment, let's just call it what it is, audio entertainment. You want to call it radio, fine, but there are a million different ways that you are going to be getting your audio entertainment in the future. And there are many, many more choices you're going to have, many, many more ways that you can have that delivered to you. Take a look at your phone. I know many of you have a smartphone. Imagine this, not just your phone and not just your computer, but this is now your radio. And it's not a radio in the traditional sense. It's an internet radio, but it also contains all of your podcasts. It has all of a variety of different platforms where you can find all of your favorite shows and podcasts. It has a variety of different platforms you can find all of your music. So your phone now, this little tiny computer that we carry with us, which is our phone, it's our internet access, it's our Twitter and our Facebook, it's our, this is where we communicate via email, this is where we keep, you know, write notes to ourselves, this is where we play little games when we're bored, this is where we take our Instagram pictures and then put them up on Instagram and go, wow, isn't this cool what I did with all of that blurry stuff and made my nose go like that, and, you know, people are bored to tears, but they're, yeah, it's really great.
You think your pictures suck?
I don't think my pictures on Insta. I've got an Instagram account, you guys. It's Phil Hendry. If you want to go over and we'll look at each other's pictures, you know. But the only people that I actually follow are my godsons and my buddy Don's, his whole extended family. They all follow me. So, you know, Joe and then his sister Katie and then the cousins. So I got all this Olander family stuff on my feed on Instagram.
What I'll do?
Well, I mean, it's all really creative. They're kids, you know. They're in their 20s, and they're great kids. And it's all like club stuff and music stuff and pictures of clothes, shoes, you know. And then I also follow, like, I don't know. I've got Toby Huss. Toby's an actor, but he also, he was an actor, he's a voice actor on King of the Hill. He did a lot of voices on King of the Hill, and I met him there, and he also does a lot of camera stuff. And I love his pictures, because he goes out and he takes just these whacked out pictures, because he's always traveling around the country, you know.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, one time he went into some place in the South, and there was a bikini on a mannequin that was hanging from the ceiling, but it was a Stars and Bars Confederate flag bikini on this, you know, no head, no arms, no legs, just torso mannequin hanging from the ceiling of this place that looked like a huge garage, but it was actually a surplus store. And there was this, in the middle of all of this crazy stuff, was this bikini, you know.
That reminds me of that guy in Falling Down.
Which guy?
The guy that had that store.
Oh, that guy was creepy. Woo!
Yeah, remember that guy? He stabbed him?
Oh, yeah, that... Oh, God.
What was that talking about?
This movie, Falling Down. Did you ever see it?
Uh-oh.
Michael Douglas plays this guy that flips out. He can't stand it anymore. He just flips his lid. He's in the freeway. He's in his car.
Yeah, and he flips his lid, and he's got to get out of there. It's too hot and everything.
Yeah, so he leaves his car, and he begins this... And the movie then commences this sojourn, this journey, going from the car that he left on the freeway, literally left it there, as he's walking to the home of his ex-wife to see his daughter on her birthday, we find out that there's a restraining order on him. So we know that this guy is, right, he's already started cracking. And the journey that he takes on foot takes him right through the center of, like, gangland L.A. It takes him right into just a lot of different... Sort of, it's almost like Apocalypse Now, the journey of the boat up the river to get to Kurtz, only this is Michael Douglas And he's taking this journey through the city of Los Angeles as he finally makes his way out to West L.A. But in the process, he meets all these kooky, just cracked people. And one of them is the owner of a surplus store who's a neo-Nazi. And the guy is like all...
Yeah, I mean, he's got... Look at this can.
Yeah, he's got a can of... An empty can that used to have Cyclone B gas in it.
What's that?
That's what they killed people in concentration camps with.
And he's got this?
Yeah, he's got this. He's going, hey, look at what I got, man. Look at what I got. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's all like all excited about it.
Right, and Michael Douglas is getting sick to his stomach from this guy, and they have a confrontation, a violent confrontation, and Michael Douglas pulls a knife that he took off some gangbanger with some other thing that he was involved in, and he stabs this guy and kills him. But, oh, God, that cat was real creeped out. And that's then. And
didn't say your friend Toby Huston like that?
No, I didn't say that. No.
No, he said that he went to a store like that.
I said that Toby took a picture of something inside a store that looked like this guy's store.
Oh.
And so I dig his stuff on, and I was talking about Instagram, really. And I follow him, and then I follow Brody Stevens, the comic. He's a nutcase. He's a great guy. Very, very nice guy. And he takes pictures of himself because he's got the most distinctive face. He just, you know, it's like, I can't describe Brody's face. It's a handsome face, but it's very distinctive. And he takes all these whacked out pictures of himself, you know, glaring at the camera and all this. So, but my pictures suck, you know.
Like, what do you take pictures of?
I just take pictures of the ocean, you know. My pictures blow. I mean, there's no good, I don't take any good pictures. I got pictures of the ocean. I got pictures of myself, you know, with like friends. Big deal, you know.
Yeah, but people want to see that stuff.
Yeah, but then I did. Then I get. See, my problem. I get really creative. I got this thing called Blender, and I like to blend pictures. So I'll have, like, I did this one picture. It was the ocean, and then I took a picture of a baby, and I made it so the baby looked like the baby was coming up out of the horizon of the ocean.
Like a giant baby?
Yeah, it was like a giant baby, and I had like a redneck dude standing on the beach with a shotgun, looking at this giant baby as if he was guarding the coastline against this baby attack, you know?
That's pretty bitching.
I don't think, I mean, yeah, it was funny, but I don't think people like that. I think people on Instagram want to see just, oh, show us pictures of, like, you know, you and your kids. Like, there's one, I got one with me and my daughter, Catherine. Everybody loved that, you know? They all loved those shots. I got to get a picture of me and Alex, man. We went out to this meeting today and get some shots of him up there because he works with us on our website. So why am I talking about this stuff?
You're all talking about Instagram and stuff. Oh, yeah, talk about new media.
Yeah, you're talking about like a new media thing?
Yeah, so anyway, your phone is now what you use for so many things. Well, it will now become your, this is where you're going to go for, even though now I know you have it as an iPod, I get that. But this is going to be something that you will use much like you use the radio today. There, you won't necessarily have to be material stored on this. You can access it live. You can listen to it as you choose. You can go to platforms where a multitudinous offering exists. And
what's that mean?
It means a lot of stuff. And it's really an exciting, exciting, exciting future. So that's kind of what I was yelling about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, but see, you would scam people, you know.
By the way, where's Margaret?
She went to the bathroom. She said she streaked.
Bud, you don't want to say that. She's going to come. Here she comes now.
No, I heard that. I heard it. I was in the bathroom, and I heard the, I overheard that. Yes, I did streak a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I was trying to be a gentleman so that we didn't have to hear about it.
Well, I was laughing at something that had been said by Mr. Wireman. And I laughed so hard that I went in to check, and yes. By the way, is it all right if I put this in your hamper?
And Margaret, why do I want that here?
It's not leprosy on it. All right, never mind.
Take it home to your own laundry. God.
You know, that's very insulting. When I asked you if I can leave a pair of panties here, is that, are you offended that you think people are going to think, oh, Phil's having an affair with Margaret?
No, Margaret, I'm not. I'm more offended by you sitting here on the air talking about leaving a pair of panties in our hamper because you streaked laughing at something that Harvey did.
So what? God, what a prude, you know?
Yeah, that'd be so like that, Phil.
Exactly, Phil. Listen to your own crew. Even they are embarrassed by how really prudish you are. Get with it. Loosen up. Have some fun, you know?
Oh, okay. Sure, Margaret. Go ahead and streak and leave your dirty underwear at my house.
I didn't call it dirty under... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When is my French National Anthem segment coming up? I want to leave the room right now before I throw up.
It's coming up after this break, so you might want to stay.
Well, if I get sick all over the carpet, you'll understand.
I certainly will. God.
Well, Phil, it's your own fault.
All right, fine. We'll be right back. World famous wins my French National Anthem segment coming up.
Yes, when is it coming up?
Right after the break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can not only listen to our radio show's enormous library and archive of audio, you can also watch our nightly show by way of Phil TV and HD. You can, let's see, what else? What else can you do, bud?
You can just imagine, you know, that you have powers.
Imagine? What is he talking about?
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't prepared.
You can imagine you have powers. No, you can go online and you can access our audio and video and our archives and our news feed and all the other extras that we have in miscellany, as they call it, at philhendryshow.com. You're also going to be reading on our website, and it will be the prime place that you go for the further adventures of the Phil Hendry Show as we begin over the next several months to take not our radio show necessarily, but our act out on the road, baby. That's right. That's right. As we begin to refine and maximize our potentiality, in the words of Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm refining my product and maximizing my potentiality.
Yeah, man, I'm into some stuff that's about to explode.
Right. That was Benny Blanco. So we're going to maximize our potentiality because we're about to get into some stuff that's going to explode. And anyway, we will be coming to a town or village or township or vill or wherever you live, whatever you call it. It could be something as humble as a hamlet. We'll come to your hamlet, you know.
Wasn't that the name of a guy?
Hamlet is also the name of a guy, yeah, but it was also what they used to call small little...
Well, is that a village or really a little village?
A hamlet, I would say, is a small village, yeah.
How big is that?
It's a little tiny, probably two houses or something. I don't know. A hamlet, and then there is a burg. A burg is just a slang term for a kind of a hick town. And, you know, so there you go. And as my father used to call them, wide spots in the road.
What do they call them?
My dad used to say it's a wide... My father would talk of small towns this way. He'd say it was a wide spot in the road.
What's that mean?
Well, what it meant was... There wasn't anything exceptional about the town at all. The only thing that you noticed about the town was that the road widened a little bit. A wide spot in the road, meaning that's how small the town was.
Oh.
Yeah. Or he would say, you could spit from one city limit to the next.
Your dad said that?
Yeah, my father, he took a business trip one time that got him to Helena, Montana. Now, no offense to anybody listening to us in Helena, Montana tonight, but my dad said he wound up in Helena, Montana. I go, and I was young. I said, was that a big city, Dad? Big! You can spit from one city limit to the next.
What's that mean? So in other words, you can...
Yeah, bud, can't you figure this out, man?
Dad, it means you're spitting from one city limit. You stand on a city limit, you spit another one.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't quite sure.
I mean, what is it? Everything you ask a question about, man. If I said to you that the sun comes up in the morning, you'd ask me, what does it mean, man? You know?
Well, what does it mean?
It means...
Because you already say that the sun doesn't move.
The sun doesn't move.
Then why do you say the sun come up?
Because that's what people say. That's how people have been describing it since time began, all right? We say the sun comes up. It's easier to say that than to say that the earth rolled toward the sun. How would you say that?
Just say that I woke up this morning and the earth turned, and the spot on the earth where I was turned toward the sun.
Oh, that sounds really cool, man. That's really, I mean, I'd be standing there with my jaw open if you said that.
What's that mean?
I'd be standing there like you're the dumbest guy I ever met.
Why would you want to say that, man?
Because it's more accurate.
Well, okay, you try that for the next week. And just say to people, yeah, I got up this morning, you know, and I watched the sun as it stayed put in the sky and the earth turned toward it. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, that's not exactly. I wouldn't say that.
Well, how would you put it?
I'd say, like, I got up, it's such a beautiful day today, man. I woke up as the fixed spot on the earth that I stood at rotated toward the sun.
Do you realize that that just took you like maybe 30 seconds to spit that out? Oh, what a beautiful morning.
As the fixed spot on the orb that we occupy rotated toward the sun.
As the fixed spot. See, I just don't think that sounds, you know.
That, it doesn't sound friendly, man.
What do you mean friendly? Well, how friendly is supposed to sound?
Well, it doesn't sound like anything anybody will relate to.
That's what he's saying. Who's going to relate to that? Everybody relates to the sun coming up. And then you come along. Here comes Bud. Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, I know what you guys mean. Really beautiful morning as I stood on the fixed spot on the orb called the Earth and it rotated toward the sun. They're going to look at you, man, like you belong in a freaking butterfly net.
Okay, you laugh if you want.
What are you talking about?
Did you get the...
Yes, I did, Phil, and I don't want to talk about it. What are you talking about?
We're talking about the way Bud says the sun comes up. He says that, look, I don't want to talk about this, okay? We got other stuff that we have to do.
But what do you... I just want to know, when he says it is a fixed orb on the... It's a fixed spot on the orb, what is he talking about?
He's talking about the Earth.
Talking about the Earth.
All right. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't know if you were talking about a woman's breast. Because I have to keep track of these things.
Wow, Margaret. I mean, you really love to think the worst, don't you?
I don't know what filth you three are talking about. I'm sorry. But I have turned on your show some nights, Phil, and I have to tell you, I can't believe the garbage, the sewer that your mouth has turned into. And you're talking about Bud, a fixed spot on someone's orb, naturally.
He didn't say fixed spot on someone's orb. He said a fixed spot on the orb of the Earth.
All right, are you ready for me?
Am I ready for you? What is...
You'll sing a la French, la Massal.
It's not la... What did you say?
The French anthem.
Oh, the French national anthem. I'm sorry.
Yes, I am going to render the French national anthem. And I want everyone to know that I have great respect, great love, and great admiration for the French people. I don't agree with my colleague Phil Hendry, who also supports the very unfortunate decision by this so-called magazine to publish these offensive images. Phil, I know you love a good fight, and you love to take controversial sides, but I think this dog won't hunt. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, that's great, Margaret. This dog won't hunt. That's great. You know, I mean, it sounds so affected that I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let it just go by, but you want me to say, yeah, this dog won't hunt.
I have to ask the question again. Did you graduate from ass school, or was this some kind of...
All right, okay, just do the song, okay? Do you mind?
All right. I don't know the words to this song, ladies and gentlemen, but I will have you know I love and respect the French national anthem. And so we're going to do something that is traditional in the Gray family. And when I say the Gray family, I say my family. My maiden name is Margaret Mulcurin, but I've taken the name Gray all the way back to...
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I was getting emotional.
Yeah! We'll be right back.
What are you laughing at?
I All right, Margaret will be back to sing the French national anthem in this manner that is traditional in your family.
Yes, and I guess I'll have to explain it when we come back.
Yes, exactly. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, Margaret Gray is with us and has been with us the last couple of nights. Very happy to have Margaret on our in-studio staff contributing. As I understand what you said to us, Margaret, here a moment ago, the French national anthem you're going to sing, not knowing the words, part of the family tradition, Mercurin family, since you've taken the Gray name, you've changed your name back to birth. Does that mean you had your report cards changed?
Yes. Basically, Phil, it meant that I went back to every record that recorded the name Mercurin, and I had that changed officially to Gray. I don't want to go into my reasons for that. I'm very proud of my family name, but I don't want to have anything to do with it in terms of it being attached to my name, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's going to have to make sense, Bud, because that's as far as I'm going with that.
All right. I mean, it sounds like there's an involved story there, and we won't press you, you know.
Well, some night I'll go into it.
Okay. So what is this family tradition?
The family tradition that we have, and this goes back to my great uncle, who was a singer, and he sang in Irish theater. He traveled what they called the county circuit in Ireland back in the 19th century. And he was a music hall singer, and he worked the music halls of Ireland. Now, if someone called out, as they often did, a very popular song, or perhaps a traditional song, that my uncle didn't know the words to, he would create his own words, and this became a Mercurin trait, and became something that was known throughout our family's history, as well as that branch of our family that was in entertainment. So,
all right, so you're going to sing the French national anthem that way.
I am, and I want everyone to know, especially the French listeners, anyone listening, I have great respect and great love for the French people.
As do I.
Well.
As do I. Okay, as we all do.
All right, but you've been very critical.
Yes, we've been critical of some government, but we the French people are great people, and... Certainly, the satirists of France, the writers of France, the great and what I consider courageous artists who stand against a violent horde in order to express their artistic freedom, I think that is admirable.
And I agree with that, Phil. But I think it's just unfortunate that they're making a spectacle of themselves, because there are a great many Islam, or however you say it, people in Hollywood and in the entertainment business. And a great many of them are on some very popular shows like The Office. Hello.
Who?
I'm not going to say. Okay.
You stated there people are Islam in The Office?
Yes. Like on Modern Family. Hello.
Wait. Well, hold on just a minute.
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm not going to elaborate.
There are people of the Muslim faith on Modern Family.
Yes.
All right, so here is the song from Margaret Gray, the French national anthem. And here it is with her own words.
Well, the French people are my favorite people. And oh, God, that's high. I'm going to have to... Start again. Bud Dickman, please start again.
Yeah, I got it, Miss Gray.
I'm sorry, Phil, I can't...
Who's on the phone, by the way?
Oh, Frank, honey, is that you?
It's me. I was just late. I knew that you'd need to start a lower key there, dear.
Yes, I do. I have to start in a lower key, Bud.
What? What do you want me to do?
You're going to have to start in a lower key.
Yeah, out of here. You're going to have to, because she can't change the recording.
All right.
You see, call me a sheet.
Oh, Tyler, gender confusion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What did it say?
Never mind. All right, so, Margaret, you need to just start...
Could I get a few bars of that, please? A few bars of that, please, Bud Dickman.
Yeah, why do you keep saying my last name?
Because you are accompanying me, and I always use the last names of my accompanist. My accompaniment. I don't know how to say it. All right, here we go. La, 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 la. Okay. La, la. Well, the French people are really my friends, and they are all over in a beautiful country. I like all the wine and the vineyards and the hunchback of Notre Dame. And
okay, can I just...
What in the name of Jesus on the cross? You know, Phil...
Hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Well, what are you interrupting me for?
The hunchback of Notre Dame.
Excuse me, but that's what we do in my family. You've got a lot of nerve.
What are you interrupt her for?
All right, I'm sorry. I just...
Why, am I not doing it according to the Phil Hendry way? Would you do it differently? Oh, gee, Phil. Maybe we'll give you your opportunity to do it, and then...
All right, okay, fine. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What a... Phil, let me ask you something. Did...
No, I didn't take postgraduate work at ass school, if that's what you're going to ask me.
Yes, I was.
Frank, are you still there? I don't know if we hung up on him.
Here, for God's sweet country.
I'm sorry, darling.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you that when she puts on the anthem, start in the lower register because she can't control it.
You talking about me?
Yes, I'm talking about you. Do you think I'm talking about your mother? Yes, I'm talking about you.
All right, here we go. Margaret Gray singing the French national anthem.
With the McKernan family tradition of making up our own lyrics. Oh, you are a real gloid. Start it again, for God's sake, bud. Start it again, please. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 2. 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 2, and a... Okay. La, 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 la. Well, I go to a vineyard, I get a bottle of wine, I get that really good French bread, too. Oh, I love all the sights that I see. There's the Champs-Élysées and all the wars that... Well, you know what I mean, right, Phil? My God, you look like you've just seen vomit. You don't look like you've seen a ghost. You look like you've seen chunky vomit. Frank.
Yes, dear.
Would you head over now to pick me up? I don't want to be here anymore.
Well,
I'm on my way.
Thank you. I really don't, Phil. I don't want to be here anymore.
Margaret, you know, it's an amazing thing. You say something that I find very amusing, and I can't laugh.
No, you can't. I'm being very serious. You've got a look on your face. After I sang that song, does that mean you didn't like it?
No, it doesn't mean that I didn't like it.
Well, you're a liar. How does that feel? Does that wipe the smile off your face? You're a crawling liar. You're a tail-dragging, crawling cur. Scum, Phil. The scum of the earth.
Yeah, that took the smile off my face, all right.
Yeah, I thought it would.
I was going to say that it was very amusing when you used the, when you said I looked like I hadn't seen a ghost, I'd actually seen.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, you guys laugh it up because I'm leaving now, okay?
Margaret, do it. It was really funny what you said.
Well, he looked like he, to me, the most shocking thing in the world to see is not a ghost. I've seen ghosts. I have seen hundreds of ghosts, all right? I grew up in a haunted home. My home was haunted. My grandmother died in the bedroom that I shared with my sister, okay?
I didn't know that, Margaret.
Yes, she did. And throughout our childhood, we always heard my grandmother walking the halls at night, always.
Did it scare you?
No, it did not scare us because we got used to it. We knew that's Grandmama. And my father would say, did you girls hear Grandma last night? We talk about it in the morning.
So to you, the most frightening thing...
Not the most frightening, but the most shocking thing is to see a puddle of milky-colored, chunky vomit. That would leave me with my jaw dropping. And that's what you look like.
Well, when you put it that way, yeah, that would...
Well, imagine that, Phil. You get up in the morning, you walk into the bathroom, you're about to sit down and really enjoy it. And in the sink...
Okay, I get the picture, all right?
In the sink?
Yeah, I get the picture.
Mr. Gray's outside.
Okay, Frank, I'll be on... I'm coming, Frank.
All right, Margaret, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right, that was really disgusting, man.
Yeah, what did you think about that, man? Yeah.
Huh?
What did you just say? Yeah, what was that? That sounded Gloid-like.
Hey, watch the Gloid-like, man. I said, I understand what she's saying.
Well, yeah, when she puts it that way, that is pretty shocking. She grew up with ghosts. You know, I will say one thing, Margaret, if you're listening on the way home, and I know you are, you really got to get a bit of a thicker skin, man. We're going to laugh about a lot of stuff. You split because we thought that was a really cool thing you said. We were laughing, and now you're splitting and you're going home. You know, you could still be here. All right, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that rendition of the French National Anthem, you know.
Yeah, talking about...
I love to go drink wine and eat bread. Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here with the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can. You go to twitter.com/ Real Phil Hendry. And I just found out something today. If you go to Twitter and you hang a Twitter, you'll notice that there are some people who have blue check marks next to their names. And they generally are very famous people, but they're also people that you've never heard of in your life. You say, well, why does that person have a blue check mark? Their account is verified. And I found out today from these cats that I was talking to, it ain't no thing, man. It's no big deal. And I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, well, I want to be verified. I want to have a blue. They said, we'll do it. We'll get it done for you. He said, I think it's just you have to have a birth certificate. I said, are you kidding me? That can't possibly be it, man. He said, no, I think that's what it is.
But what does that mean, a verification or anything? Not the one where they got the blue check mark. Yeah, I know what it is. What's it mean?
I think there's more to it. I think there's some formula that Twitter uses. And I really, really do believe it has a lot to do with how you use Twitter. Are you using Fave Star? Are you retweeting? Are you interacting? Are you doing the do? You know?
Yeah, probably like the number of followers, too.
No, it's not number of followers, because there are people with fewer followers than me that are verified. So it's not the number of followers. I think it's the interaction and...
The way you're saying, you're antisocial.
Maybe I'm antisocial. I don't know. I could be. But I believe it's their own formula, and it's some kind of heaviosity thing, man. But the reason why I pay attention to that is because I believe that a blue check mark next to your name is worth advertising. I think it's like worth money. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
I mean, if you have that blue check mark next to your name, that it has a certain cachet to it that people pay attention to. I think there's an actual dollar value.
You know, that some of the people on a Twitter, or not Twitter, called Twitter, man, God. Well, what are you getting upset about? How many times people got to tell you?
Bud, how many times you got to be told it's Twitter?
What about that other guy?
Who? What guy?
Jack-a-Gagger.
He's an old guy. He doesn't know Twitter, man. He doesn't know Twitter from the New York Times, okay? He's some cat in his 70s. I mean, no offense, but, you know, I mean, he doesn't know.
Well, so he says it.
So you're like a young guy. You ought to know how to say Twitter. So what about it?
Anyway, that on Twitter, well, now I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, man, it's your own fault.
No, it isn't. You are interrupting me.
Take it easy, bud.
No, man. He's always doing that.
You interrupted me.
Yeah, I interrupted you because you sound like an idiot. If you stopped sounding so stupid, I wouldn't interrupt you.
You're interrupting Phil's show now, too.
Phil don't tell me to shut up.
Why don't you tell him to shut up?
Because I'm listening to you guys work it out, man. And you're yelling really loud, bud. Back it off, okay?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of you, man.
So, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you.
Okay. You want to throw down?
No, you're not throwing down. You understand? You ain't throwing down.
Dog, every time he talks about Twitter, he's always calling it Twitter. So you can't be that stupid, man.
I'm not stupid. I forgot. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you, and I wonder what you're saying is true. I think sometimes you just say Twitter just to be funny, just like you play those crickets, you know?
You mean these?
Yes, I mean those.
Shut them off, man. Nobody wants them now.
You shut them off.
All right, easy. So in any event, go to twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. That's where we do a lot of tweeting from there. We also have the Phil Henry Show account. Bud, you have a Twitter account, right?
Yeah, sometimes, but lately I've been on it.
Are you going to be on it anytime soon?
Yeah, well, I was on yesterday, and Mrs. Gray was on there.
Margaret Gray also, if you want to follow Margaret Gray, you can follow her on Twitter. We also are over at Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHenryFans. And while we have a friends page, we're going to migrate, as they say. We're migrating over to our fan page now. And that's why I was asking Johnny Bean for the login, man, because I've totally spaced on the login on
the fan page?
On our fan page. So we are going to be using our fan page now for all of our show stuff. And for just talking about the show, just talking about stuff, that we're going to be over on the fan page a lot. So it's not that I don't like the friends page, but it's a very limited thing. And I don't understand the friends. I don't understand Facebook, man. You know?
Well, what don't you understand?
I just don't understand. I don't get it, man. What's with the friends page? Who cares, man? I mean, what's the point of that if you're going to have a fan page?
The friends page is for people that...
Don't yell, man.
Yeah, take it easy, bud.
No, I'm just saying a friend page is for people that are not famous and stuff.
Okay, all right. So what does that mean? So I'm wasting my time? What are you telling me?
You should have a fan page.
I have a fan page, but I was told today I should be on the fan page, that I'm wasting my time being on a friends page.
Yeah, you are, because a friend page is a limited number of people. And that's supposed to be friends, okay? That's what that's supposed to be.
Real friends?
Yeah.
Who has 5,000 real friends? I mean, seriously.
Are you kidding? A lot of people do.
Who? I mean, you're talking about real friends.
Well, I mean, the people you know and stuff.
I don't know 5,000 people, man. I don't know 5,000 people well enough to call them friends. I just don't. I don't know anybody that does.
How many friends you say you got?
People that I would call a friend? Dude, if I've got 15 people in my life that I would call friends, well, now, look, are you talking about professional acquaintance?
No, I'm saying, like, man, friend, man. You know, like, go over to the house?
No, man, there's no more than 15 people in my whole life that I would say I could get, like, knock on the door at their house, say, hey, what's up, you know, and I could go in. Okay?
What would the other people do, like, shoot at you?
Shoot at me?
No, I thought, what would they do?
They're not going to shoot at me. I'm just saying that they would say, oh, hi, Phil. Gee, what are you doing here? I mean, it would be kind of one of those awkward things, you know?
Yeah, maybe they listen to you on the radio.
Are you guys listening to what I'm saying? This isn't about them being listeners on the radio. You asked me a question about friends, man, so I'm giving you the answer about friends. All right?
Not the TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't say the TV show, did I? I'm talking about Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that 5,000 friends, I don't think so, man. I don't think so. So that friends page, I don't understand it. I don't get it. And I'm always posting show stuff there. And people say to me, oh, man, don't do that. You're wasting your show stuff over on that page because that's not what that's about. And you're going to get more shares because Facebook is about shares. That's something else I've heard. Man, you know, I'm telling you, there's a whole real science behind this stuff that I'm just now starting to understand. I used to think it was just go on there, write really funny or cute or stuff you think is funny and cute, and post it, and then everyone will just love you and think you're the greatest thing in the world. And that's not how it works. You got to get shares, you got to get retweets, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but Favestar is gay.
Yeah, Favestar, I don't like Favestar.
I don't like Favestar either. I think Favestar is bullcrap. And I think buying followers, I can't believe that. And buying, are you kidding me, man? You know that you can go buy followers?
Yeah, there's, I don't know how much it costs, but they'll get followers for you.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, but man, you were saying it's the number of followers, that you know, whether you get verified and stuff.
No, it isn't, man. I said numbers of followers doesn't matter. There's people that are verified on Twitter with fewer followers than me, man. So what's that about, okay? Anyway, big deal. So we'll see you tomorrow night, guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and myself, Phil Hendry. And don't forget to get a backstage pass. A backstage pass at philhendryshow.com means that you can have all kinds of joyous fun going through all of those massive archives and watching our video casts and overall just being, being a useful human being and not a complete waste of space like many of you are, including myself sometimes. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you, 10 Pacific.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.